Every Monday at this time, we do Teacher Feature, which is basically an opportunity for us to get to know one of the Minneapolis public school teachers involved with our many fine young people. And today we'd like to introduce Stacy Severson. Hello, Stacy.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for coming in, taking the trouble. We'll mention up front that Stacy is involved in a very unique program. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But she is based out of Northrop, and Northrop Environmental School is located in Minneapolis at the Minnehaha Falls area. And you've been there for about 5 years, am I right about
that? That's correct, yeah. Okay.
First of all, how long have you been with the schools overall? When did you first start with Minneapolis?
I got my license in 2001. I actually student taught at Whittier in Minneapolis schools. Subbed for a year and a half in Minneapolis public schools and found myself at Burroughs for a year teaching fourth grade, and I've been at Northrop for, I think this is my fifth year.
Okay. And you're involved in a very unique program. You want to tell us about that?
Future Problem Solvers. We're actually the only school in the district that currently is competing, but Future Problem Solvers is an international program that helps kids. It's a six-step program, problem solving.
That's okay.
It's basically to help kids think creatively, think outside of the box, mm-hmm. learn how to solve problems.
Are they problems of a political nature? I mean, the kids are pretty young, so I'm guessing you're just teaching them problems in general.
They can be.
Conflict resolution, that kind of thing.
When they go into competition, and it can be political, but when they go into competition, there is a future scene that they receive. They've got in competition, there are four kids on a team. They've got 2 hours to go through the six-step process.
Okay.
They read and analyze the future scene.
Mm-hmm.
They look for 16 challenges within it. They hone down on one challenge. Then they expound, try to find 16 solutions. They have to come up with five criteria for judging their solutions to find the best solution. And then they have to write an action plan.
So your role is just to sort of oversee all that? Do you actually, you give them the tools? I know you don't take just any kids, right? I mean, you have to have certain skills to come into this program.
The kids that I have in my program are all in the gifted and talented program. I also teach GT at Northrop. And not all of the GT kids are necessarily a good fit for the program. It also takes somebody who can, you know, think outside of the box. I'd hate to say this, but kids who can control themselves, they're in a classroom for 2 hours without any adults. So
that makes sense.
Somebody that's got to have a good sense of focus. So.
Somebody with just good behavioral skills and social and interpersonal skills. And
exactly. But it's not a prerequisite to be in gifted and talented. I do a class-wide problem-solving curriculum as well with the fourth graders. So.
Okay. And how many kids do you work with at a given time?
This year, I've got 16 kids, three teams.
All right. And they're all working as teams. Is that always how it sets up?
Yes. There is an individual component in FPS, Future Problem Solvers. However, you don't see it until the high school level.
Okay. Yeah. Now, both the contest has been around for a while. Am I correct in calling it a contest, a competition?
It is.
Really what it is?
That's kind of the big thing. It is a competition. Okay. And I believe that Dr. Paul Torrance, I think it started around 1976.
Okay. So basically it was just kids from all over the country. Is that right?
It started out, it started locally and has grown. There are, I believe that there are several teams in Australia, several affiliates in Australia. So it's pretty big internationally.
I guess I'm picturing like debate, but it's really nothing like that, is it? They kind of come with a lot more research and a lot more.
They
work
do. They know at the beginning of the season what the competition, you know, what the future scene is going to be about. So they've done research on it. So we've spent the entire year working on the skills that they need, and it's writing. It's all writing. The only time that they actually would be doing something beyond the writing component is in the regional competition, the one that we were just in. There is an oral piece. They actually do a 5-minute skit where they act out their action plan.
Okay.
And that's what our three teams won ribbons. Every single kid that I brought from
great.
Minneapolis walked with a ribbon, which was great.
You must be amazed at watching them work through this process, and actually it must give you quite a viewpoint on how things troubles can be worked out ultimately, right?
Exactly.
People just take the time and do some exercises and open their minds a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. When I went through the training to be a coach, there were actually two teachers who were, as students, had participated in FPS, and they both said, it's changed my outlook on the world. I look at challenges in my life differently. I think about what is the underlying problem and how can I solve it.
Okay. So, now tell us a little bit about the program in general over there at Northrop. Can you comment on that at all? Is it just kids you get from that program, or are they district-wide? Or
for the future problem solvers, it's just kids that
just
I see at Northrop. Yeah.
And there's a focus on the school, right? It's fairly historic. You want to talk about that
about
a little bit?
About our environmental?
Yeah, just about environmental learning. Do you know?
Yeah. We are an environmental school. I actually also teach environmental science, and I'm the school naturalist.
Okay. Oh, that's neat.
And I teach kindergarten ESL, English as a second language. But we, as an environmental school, our students, also, in addition to media, gym, art, and music, they also have one prep a week with environmental science.
Okay. So, does that involve the nature hikes and things like
that? It does involve
plant
nature
identification
hikes.
And
it involves as much going outdoors as we can. Right now I'm doing a unit on wolves. I used to work for the Wolf Center before I was a teacher, so it's something that's very near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
We're working on urban ecosystem.
Sure.
Looking
Plenty
at animal habitats versus human habitats.
Okay. I remember a couple of years back, I was at one of my daughter's about same age picnic, and the teacher had a spontaneous idea of doing a nature hike.
Sure.
And the results of it, to me, seemed like, you know, it's probably best to prepare them somehow for it, give them some kind of structure rather than just say, hey, let's go take a walk.
It's
mixed results, I'll put it that way.
It can also be a learning experience if you have the right tools with you on those walks.
Okay. So your background is you mentioned a passion for wolves and stuff. Are you trained as an environmentalist or, you know, what?
As a teacher.
You're just trained as
a
teacher.
Actually, I'm finishing up my master's degree in ESL.
Okay.
So
all right.
That's kind of the direction I'm moving in.
And ESL itself is kind of changing, isn't it? There's ELL and there's all kinds of different levels.
I think the acronyms are changing.
Yeah, but the focus really isn't. You're just doing the same thing, teaching.
Exactly. ELL, English Language Learners, they are the students that I see who speak another language in their house.
Okay.
So.
And how many languages do you speak, or are you just working
I don't have to speak the same languages
right.
as my kids, but I do speak six languages.
Wow, yeah. Okay. That sounds like we're getting our money's worth out of you, I think. It definitely sounds like
it.
If you're just tuning in, our guest for Teacher Feature, just for a few more moments, is Stacy Severson. She is located over there at Northrop Environmental School in Minneapolis, and the program is called Future Problem Solving Program International. There's a competition involved with this, teaching kids about problem resolution, really, in a nutshell. 22 past 5 o'clock, working our way through this afternoon cruise. Kevin O'Connor, along with Stacy Severson over at Northrop, and we talked a bit about some of the environmental stuff, your work with other languages, ESL work, and something else I wanted to ask you about. Tell us about Architects for Peace, if you would, Stacy.
Sure. Over the summer, I'm still teaching.
Okay.
I work with a program, Architects for Peace, ARC, it's called for short. And we've got teens from seven different countries who get together for 2 weeks every summer and learn how to be peace leaders. They go back to their respective countries and spread some of the things that they've learned. I've been doing that for about 6 years, but I've taken what I've learned and brought it to Northrop, and I actually teach an after-school program called Peace Leaders. And I've got 36 kids right now who are learning to be peer mediators.
Wow.
In two different languages, in English and Spanish.
And you're just doing this out of love on your own.
It's another one of my passions, huh? Yeah.
Well, great. It just sounds like you're doing nothing but terrific work over there.
Thank you.
We certainly appreciate you coming in and spreading the word about what you do. Do you have like a maximum of kids that you take in for this?
I did have a maximum of 25, but you know, it's a popular program, and it's hard to turn somebody away who wants to learn how to mediate and to be a peace leader. So
okay, so if somebody's in the school and they might have a kid who's interested, come see you.
Exactly,
is that how it works?
Exactly. I'm kind of hoping not to have more than 36.
Okay, well, that's the more the merrier.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Feature here on
Jazz 88. I want to mention that support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Stacey Severson on Jazz 88.